everything about the presidents, but I know all the weird things about the presidents. So please direct your questions in that way. I love presidents. I just need you to understand what's happening here when we talk about my relation to the presidents. So I'm just gonna hop into it, and I want you to love presidents too. So my aim is to give you 35 ways to try to love the presidents. Sexy nicknames, all right? So, like, if I ever write an erotic novel of the historical variety, these are going to be the characters. You see, we have Martin Van Buren here, and he had two sexy nicknames. The Little Magician. Sounds like somebody who might be able to teach us some things. Also, the Enchanter. Sounds like a good time is there to be had. The Rail Splitter. We have Abraham Lincoln right here. I think that picture says everything that we need to know. Here we are in this like post 50 Shades era, and some of you are excited about U.S. Grant as unconditional surrender, who would not have been just a couple years ago. My personal favorite is Zachary Taylor, old, rough, and ready. Now, we need to forget that he liked to ride his horse side saddle, because that's not attractive at all, but his name is Tops. You know, in a university town, we cannot leave out Woodrow Wilson, the professor. But I gotta ask you something. Don't his ears look like butterflies to you? How about now? And you know, for those of you who like soft edges and just general rosy pinkness, his rotundity might be what you need. Vaseline. Don't judge. So here we have Calvin Coolidge. Calvin Coolidge was known for being a man of few words, kind of dour. But what I want you to know him for is the fact that he liked to have his scalp rubbed with Vaseline every day over breakfast. This is what I like to imagine as his before face. This is what I like to imagine as his after face. Epic facial hair. We live in the era of naked-faced presidents, and it was not always this way. So up at the top, we have Martin Van Buren. I don't even know what you want to call that. Like, can we call those sideburns? I don't know. Next to that, we have Rutherford Hayes. This is the president that every single solitary time I look at a photo of him, it makes me want to eat shredded wheat. I mean, look at that. Next in, we have poor James Garfield, long, long death that he had there. Chester Arthur, look at that. That is a well-manicured face right here on the side here. And you might think that William McKinley does not belong here, but if you take a closer look at those eyebrows, you see that he very, very much belongs here. Like, if these other guys are, like, in a game of spades, if they are tens, jacks, this dude is totally the Joker with those eyebrows. So we need to talk about the mouths of some of the presidents. If you ever had the pleasure of playing Spin the Bottle with the presidents, these are the ones that you do not want the bottle to land on. Grover Cleveland. Everything looks kind of okay right here. He had a bump in his mouth one day, and the bump got larger and larger. Turned out he had cancer. He was president during the era where when people had cancer, people were like, you must deserve this. And so he decided, I shall not tell the people about my cancer. I shall tell the people that I'm taking a vacation on a yacht. And so he went on this yacht and took some doctors and had that cancer removed, along with part of his jawbone and 5 teeth. You don't want to put your mouth on that. Next to him, we have John Adams. And John Adams never cared about taking care of his teeth. And so when he inevitably lost all of them, except one, who I like to think of as Old Faithful, he also refused to wear dentures. And so by the time he was president, if you imagine him saying anything, to imagine it properly, you really need to imagine a lisp. And you guys, Woodrow Wilson is next. And I only have this to say about this. Woodrow Wilson, fucked up grill. Steamy letters. Our presidents could say some things to their ladies when they wanted to. And this is a time where we just need to let the president speak for themselves. So we have John Adams here of lisping fame and Abigail. Now, we need to remember, this is late 1700s, and this is a little excerpt of what he had to say to his lady. For every experimental philosopher knows that the steel and the magnet, or the glass and the feather, will not fly together with more celerity than somebody when brought within striking distance. It's kind of spicy for 17-something. Warren Harding. It was hard to choose which letter I wanted to share with you today, but I have this one. This is him. This is not his wife. This is somebody else, but it's not the lady who's somebody else who he had a child with. Let's just be clear about this. My Carrie, beloved and adored, I do love you so. I wonder if you realize how much, how faithfully, how gladly, how passionately. Yes, you do know the last. You must have felt the proof. And we have Woodrow Wilson. This is a letter that he was writing when he was courting his second wife. Please go to ride with us this evening, precious little girl, so that I can whisper something of my happiness and love and accept this in the meantime as a piece of my very heart, which is all yours, but cannot be sent as I wish to send by letter. I felt you needed to know. So my love for presidents is totally nonpartisan, but in this whole era of a certain candidate, yeah. I thought I'd share with you the presidents, the past presidents who I think would be most likely to agree with what the Don has going on upstairs. This is James K. Polk. But for our purposes, we're going to call him James Save What You Got Polk. He chose this. He could look way better than this, and we have evidence of that. I mean, who chooses A when you can have B? And second for you, I have Millard. I can't tell what's happening. No more. Johnsons. So right here, you think that I'm going to talk to you about two men, same name, serving in the White House 100 years apart from each other, following the assassination of their predecessor. But we're not using that word that way today, folks. Why is it that we know the names of two presidential penises? Why is this true? Yes, Jumbo. Somebody knows my heart out there. And if you want to know more about Jumbo, I had to exercise some restraint here. There's a whole podcast about it that I think you should listen to. LBJ liked Jumbo so much that he showed it off at every opportunity. But I'm going to stop right now because I really could spend the rest of my time talking about Jumbo, and I don't think you guys will like that very much. And the other one that we have is Warren Harding. His friend was Jerry, and we know this because he referred to Jerry by name in the letters that he wrote to Miss Fulton, the lady we saw earlier. And he would say things like, "Why don't you visit Mount Jerry? It's such a wonderful place, don't you think?" Close. So this whole slide is all about Chester Arthur. It is no surprise that a man who paid that much attention to his face also cared about his clothes a lot. But this man took it to the next level. He owned 80 pairs of pants, and he would sometimes change his pants a couple times a day. Like, in the morning, he had on one pair of pants. In the afternoon, a different pair of pants. At the evening, a different pair of pants. I have a theory about this, though. It's 18-something. There's no air conditioning. Chester's a large man. I just think he liked to be fresh. Fidelity. This is Bess Truman. Bess Truman caught the eye of Harry Truman when he was a little boy, like 6 years old or something like that. And from that moment, she owned him, and he did not care who knew. So as a result, when he went to Europe at the end of World War II, you know, he was done for the night. A young PR officer saw him and was like, I'm going to catch a ride with Harry Truman. I'm going to do him a favor. And he's like, anything you need, I can hook that up for you. Whatever you want, women, whatever. And Harry Truman was pissed. He was like, listen up, son. Let us get something straight. I am married to my sweetheart. I don't run around on her. She doesn't run around on me. And don't you ever talk about this kind of stuff to me ever again. And Harry Truman, when he went home to his hotel, he didn't even say goodbye to the man. He was upset. I like to think she appreciated that. Last rites. So it's kind of obvious that we're going to talk about our one Roman Catholic president. And he was actually read last rites three times before, you know, the last time. We like to think of him as like this youthful president who was full of health and vitality, but he was actually sick his entire life. And we have a little bit of evidence here. This is where I like to tell the joke that my kid is so mad that I'm going to tell you guys. Kenny was a slut. He was gross. He was disgusting. And as a result, he had a chronic drip. And so I feel like if we're going to call one president Slick Willie, another president Tricky Dick, I think we need to call this man Drippy Dick. I'm just saying. Personal space. So the presidency has been occupied by many, many different men with many, many different habits. And here's my president boyfriend here, Lyndon Johnson. He's my favorite. But this man had no respect when it came to personal space. So in addition to whipping it out, he would be right on top of people. And here's his opposite, George Washington. I like this fact about George Washington. If he could avoid shaking people's hands, he would. So like he would be like, you know what? I'm not shaking that guy's hand. And before he can extend a hand for me, I'm just going to go into a bow so he can't touch me. And Ulysses Grant, we're going to go back to his general days. He is funny to me because he wouldn't, you know, like when they're in war, people are all together doing all kinds of things. And he was like, nah, man, I'm not changing in front of you guys. I'm just going to go to my tent, do it in private. This is where if I had music, we would be listening to Neil Diamond sing, Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon. This is Frances Cleveland. She's actually our youngest first lady that we ever had. 21 years old when she married Grover Cleveland. The thing that I find interesting about this is that she literally knew Grover Cleveland her entire life. You see, her dad and Grover were friends, and when she was a baby, he bought her a present. Like, hey, welcome to the world. And then she welcomed his very son to the world later. Child, I can't remember if it's male or female. Speaking of children, we gotta talk about Franklin Pierce. Because anyone who knows anything about Franklin Pierce only ever thinks about, like, him drinking. But this dude had some reasons, okay? He had three children, lost all of his children. The oldest one lived to be age 11, and that child, he actually saw that child die. He was in a train accident, and that kid's head got crushed, and he and his wife saw it. He never recovered from it, and neither did his wife. Calvin Coolidge also had a very tragic loss of a child. Calvin Coolidge Jr., playing tennis on the White House yards, got a blister on his foot. That developed into blood poisoning, and he was dead within a week. And Calvin Coolidge always blamed himself for that because he was like, if I wasn't in the White House, this never would have happened. Vision. We're not talking leadership kind. We're talking about eyeglasses here. Look at Harry Truman. Look how cute he was. He had poor eyesight from the time he was a little boy. It stopped him from playing sports. That's why he read so much. That's why he learned to play the piano. And it would have stopped him from getting into the army, except he memorized that chart so he could kind of sneak his way in there. This dude, after his stroke, he couldn't see anything. He was totally blind. Not totally. He was mostly blind. And that's pretty interesting. He also had lost partial vision earlier in his life, which kind of, like when we look at all those factors, kind of see stroke coming a mile away. But this is the one I wanted to talk about. Poor James Buchanan. You gotta feel sorry for any president who comes before Lincoln. You know, like you're not gonna do okay in the records if you come before Lincoln. But they were making fun of him the whole time that he was a politician. He had a condition that made him nearsighted in one eye and farsighted in the other eye. And so he always held his head at these weird angles. Just trying to see. And congressmen are mean. And they made fun of him right in front of his face. For example, there was one congressman who was like, I can never tell which side of the issue he's on. He's talking to people. And then, in addition to saying that, which is bad enough, he goes like this to make fun of his eyes. Not very nice. This is Martin Van Buren, and he wore Spanx. sort of. People made fun of him. Like, nobody likes a president who's a president during a depression or a panic or anything like that. And that was the case for Martin Van Buren. And in addition to his sexy nicknames, which you heard about earlier, he had a bunch of other nicknames like Martin Van Ruin and things like that. And people always were saying about him that he was wearing a corset to keep his slim shape. Fertility. So you know Tippecanoe and Tyler. Tippecanoe and Tyler too. That's like the slogan that you remember these guys for. But really what you should remember them for are all the kids that they had. These rattles in the background represent the children that they had. Between the two of them, they had 25 children. This is a William Henry Harrison on one side, John Tyler on the other side. You see two different color rattles because he had two wives. I believe he wore out that first wife. I'm just saying. And this total, and this total 25 does not count the alleged slave children that they had. So this, who knows what this number is? Some things speak for themselves. Does that make anybody else in here uncomfortable? What about that? Honorary degrees. So, like, right now, in this current moment, you kind of have to have, like, some education behind you to be president, but that wasn't always the case. And Millard Fillmore was offered an honorary degree at Oxford University, but he had seen what happened when an honorary degree was awarded to Andrew Jackson. And he was like, you know what? They're not going to do me like that. They are not going to talk about how I don't know anything. I'm not taking it. Aggressive courtship. Here we have Richard Nixon and Pat Nixon, and one of my favorite things about Richard Nixon is that, one, on his first date with Pat Nixon, he proposed marriage, which is just creepy, but creepier than that, when she was out dating other men, he was like, oh, I'll give you a ride, and he would chauffeur her to her dates. He wore her down, folks. This is what happened. I would like to share with you a quote that I read somewhere. I was reading a biography about Jimmy Carter. It was an autobiography. It was talking about his rural boyhood. And, you know, I have certain things in my mind when I think about Jimmy Carter. Like, they're all very clean things. And peanuts, of course, are involved. I like to think about peaches because he's from Georgia. And certain things will make you read again. So when I read this, I had to close the book. Let me provide a little background to make a mood for you. A few girls, known by all the boys to go all the way, and they were available at the price of a movie, perhaps a hamburger. It upset me that Jimmy Carter could even have those thoughts. It ruined something. It's like finding out about the tooth fairy or something. And it made me sad. So you guys know that that I create cupcakes based on life and times of all the presidents. So before I did that, I thought that I was going to write poems for all the presidents, but they all were very weird, and I decided I didn't want to be that person. Maybe you guys can tell me whether or not I made the right choice. I'm going to read you one of these. It is called On Why Taft Was a Magnificent Lover. He took dance as a child, braiding into his constitution grace and rhythm. He turned his back on Yale for Cincinnati, where he learned his trade and found passion for that most methodical production perfection. The sensualist fantasized black silk robes. He pushed forward and climbed and came back and never losing sight of his love. He commanded the highest offices. No one since has done that. The people believed he could kiss them with happiness. Moreover, a glance speaks volumes. He knew how to lick the platter clean. That was like, I was like, you know what? You gotta stop this. You gotta find a different way to appreciate the president. I'd like you to just take him in for a moment. So I need to play a game with you guys. So I'm gonna show you some quotes to live by or to not, and you're gonna guess who said it. If I don't have a woman for 3 days, I get terrible headaches. Yay! You don't know how to lie. If you can't lie, you'll never go anywhere. Yay! You guys are my people. I am not fit for this office and never should have been here.
Reagan!
No. Warren Harding. If you want a friend in Washington, get a dog. Yay! Blessed are the young, for for they will inherit the national debt. Nope. No. Hoover. So, like, I watch a lot of documentaries about presidents, and one of the things that I see happening a lot is, like, people, they think about Thomas Jefferson, and they're like, I just can't believe that he had illegitimate children. He's, like, a great man. It couldn't be. I'm like, whatever. But how come those people never talk about the fact that he was perpetually in debt, despite the fact that he wrote down every single purchase that he made and how much everything cost and all the details, but he never added it up? I'm just saying, like, if you're gonna go there, go there. We gotta talk about presidential BMI. And as you can see, I have a little soft spot for Taft. So I show you this picture. I actually took this at the William Howard Taft Historical Museum. I went there with my brother, and he accused me of throwing myself at the ranger. This did not happen. This did not happen. But what I want you to notice is that he's not that much bigger than Roosevelt. And there were a lot of big guys who were president. And so if we're going to talk about presidential BMI, we need to talk about a lot of them. I'm just saying. But there were also some really, really teeny tiny small presidents. And I think it's so cute that James Madison was about yay tall and about yay big. It's kind of cute. Like, I like to imagine him with a dainty little pen drafting the Constitution. Horses. President Grant once got a speeding ticket when he was driving too fast on his horse, but my favorite thing to think about when I think about horses and the presidents, if I think about the presidents and horses at the same time, which only happens about once a month, I think about the assassination of James Garfield, because they were not clean in those days. They killed that man sticking their fingers in his wound, in his gun wound, sticking their nasty tools in the gun wound, and we know all about that. But the part that we don't think about is the fact that back then they were riding on horses. So when they're sticking all these gross tools in there, there is horse shit in there. And that is what killed the president, folks. That's what I like to think. I have another game for you guys. I'm going to show you some foods, and you're going to guess which president inspired the choice. So you've got some monkey bread here. Who is this? Who likes this?
Wilson.
Nope. Reagan. We got some grits. Please tell me you know who liked grits.
LBJ.
Not LBJ.
Carter.
Yes, Carter. We have some Huevos Rancheros here. Who liked that?
Bush.
Yay! We have some popcorn here. Who like that? That was not a president. The other Bush, Daddy Bush, liked these. And we have some waffles. Who was a fan of waffles? Jefferson. That was one of the things he bought. He tasted some waffles. He's like, ooh, I'm going to buy a waffle iron with all the money I don't really have. But I'll get the people to buy my library so that I can still subsist. So you guys probably think I'm going to talk about, like, Clinton and his saxophone playing or Truman and his piano playing. But we're actually going to talk about a little bit of presidential player hating. And we're going to talk about a harp. So John Quincy Adams, he who liked to swim naked in the Potomac, had his wife, who was a really good harpist, and he just couldn't handle it. He was like, I don't want you playing your harp anymore. And it's sad to me, but doesn't he look like the kind of guy who would do something like that? Orphans. This is kind of sad, but we have two presidents who were orphaned as children. This is Andrew Jackson, orphaned at age 14. And Herbert Hoover, who was orphaned at 8 or 9. I can't quite remember. He drinks.
Cheers.
You guys know Abraham Lincoln was a bartender, right? No? What? But it's not who I want to talk about. I want to talk about Harry Truman's drinking habits, because I like Harry Truman. He gets me through hard times because he was a hard worker. Every time things are difficult, I'm like, what would Harry do? He'd work harder. I'm going to work harder. And he just brings me through my hard times. But he had some help that I don't have. He liked to drink a shot of bourbon every morning. And I think that probably helped him with his hard work. My other Harry Truman drinking story has to do with him and Bess Truman in the White House. They were like, yeah, we'd like some old fashions. And then they came with the old fashions, and they're like, these aren't right. They're too sweet. So day two happens. The guy's like, all right, I'll fix this right up. They're like, too sweet. This is Bess. This isn't really Harry. Third day comes, the guy is pissed. He's like, what do they want? I know how to make an old fashioned. You know what? I'm just going to pour some whiskey in here. They take the whiskey to them, and then Bess Truman is like, this is how we like our old fashions. So I have to ask you your opinion about something. We have a number of presidents who changed their names, and I need to know whether the name change was an upgrade or a downgrade. All right, Leslie Lynch King or Gerald Rudolph Ford? Upgrade or downgrade? Really? Oh. Thomas Wilson. Woodrow Wilson, upgrade or downgrade?
Upgrade.
Hiram Ulysses Grant, Ulysses S. Grant, upgrade or downgrade?
Upgrade.
I don't know, you guys are kind of mixed on that one. William Jefferson Clinton versus William Jefferson Blythe, upgrade or downgrade?
Downgrade.
What tasteless you are. Stephen Grover Cleveland versus Grover Cleveland. Upgrade or downgrade? John Calvin Coolidge or Calvin Coolidge? Upgrade or downgrade?
Upgrade.
true. David Eisenhower or Dwight Eisenhower? This is your moment of truth.
Upgrade.
Wow, dudes. We need to talk about bullets. So there are a lot of presidents who have been shot, a high proportion, I'll say, instead of a lot, and a lot of presidents who have been shot at. But there are only a few who were like, you know what, leave the bullet in there. And Andrew Jackson was one of them. Surprise, surprise. And we have the Rough Rider himself, Teddy Roosevelt, who was another one of them. And this is just so that you can appreciate the presidents as men, because, you know, we all have bodies, and they did too, and I just want to make you look at them. So we've got Gerald Ford here. We got a young Gerald Ford. Hey. We got drippy dick right here. Looking all right, but, you know, I got some questions. My favorite thing about this photo, I just did this so that I could point this out. Why are they so high? That's upsetting me. But not as upsetting as this. Or this. And I have a story. Joe Biden isn't president. He's my other, you know, like, I'll give him a little, like, presidential glow. Once I was trying to find out what he does for exercise, because you gotta admit, his body's in good shape for someone that age. And I found Jimmy Carter in his running shorts. But for this, I found Jimmy Carter like this. It made me happy. I went to the Jimmy Carter Museum, and that museum had more older people. Like, we're talking way older people. We're talking Jimmy Carter older people. And I believe that these people are coming to worship at the Fountain of Youth. I mean, there is no other reason for that. Reagan. Okay, will somebody swoon with me? No? So I'm not the only one who loves presidents the way that I do, despite what you might believe after this. And there are a number of other people who've done president-related projects. There was a website. It's now like a little book called Tall, Slim, Erect. And this guy found, that was not a joke. That was just the name of the project. This guy found a bunch of little dolls at a garage sale, and then he put little bios of each president there. That's how I first found out about Woodrow Wilson's teeth. And I read on this guy's website that his teeth were flecked with like blue and green. And then I was like, I need to know more. And then I found that picture for you guys. There's presidential hams, which is hilarious, because there's like paintings of each president holding a ham. There's also one, I didn't include this one because I don't like it, but there's one where they draw presidents with like a breast on their face or something like that, but I couldn't. But I didn't have a problem with this. She stopped her project, but she was drawing herself, painting herself in a compromising position with each U.S. president. And she got all the way up to like Grant or Hayes or something. And I have spent, the last update I saw was 2009, and I still have hope in my heart that she will finish her project. And I keep looking, and it doesn't happen. She made me feel good about my poems. I mean, I needed her in my life. And we have this guy who decided to make a jello mold of the profiles of all these presidents. I'm telling you, like, I have a tribe, and I just needed you guys to know them. And the last way that we are going to talk about how to look at the President of the United States is cupcakes, because that's my thing. So I have a website called Head of State Cakes, and the story behind this is that I read a bio of each U.S. president, and then I finished, and I had this big president-shaped hole in my heart, and I didn't know what to do. And I was, like, thinking about it, and I was like, I could make a cupcake for each of them, because I like to bake, and that would be great. And then I thought, somebody has surely beat me to it. And people always laugh at me when I say that, but it just seems so natural. And so I created a cupcake for each U.S. president. It takes life; it takes elements from his life and times, and then they're interpreted as a cupcake. And I actually brought samples for you guys today. And this is a picture of the one that you guys will sample today. This is called the, I'm going to forget the name of this cupcake. That's ridiculous. This is called the Fireside. This is Franklin Delano Roosevelt. It's a reference to the fireside chats that he did to help the nation understand what was going on with the Depression and things like that. So what we have here is a chocolate cupcake that is a nod to the dark times of the Great Depression. On the inside, we have a cherry compote, and that is to represent the bloodshed that happened during the Second World War over which he presided. And then we have a marshmallow frosting that's toasted, and that's a reference to the fireside chats. See, fireside chats. And if you liked the madness, if you like that take on history, there are a couple places where you can find out about my project. So, like, I finished the present cupcakes, and then I had another hole in my heart. So I decided to investigate the first ladies, and right now I'm embarking upon a project to create a donut for each U.S. First Lady. I love history, and I decided, after Baltimore and some other events, that I wanted to investigate the history of race riots. I feel bad for laughing. It makes me laugh every time, and I feel like I shouldn't. But I feel like it's our national sport, in a way, because there have been like over 200 of them, and my next goal is to learn about each of those. And that's it.